Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry, a licensed clinical addiction specialist with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa. I'm owner, director of Trinity Counseling Services. Their offices that also sponsors the show, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. We just want to thank God right now for giving us an opportunity to come together for his wisdom, his knowledge, and his instruction. We just want to thank God for every opportunity that he provides for us. And we want to thank God for safe travels as we travel to and from on the highways and byways and as we are getting ourselves to work. If you are wanting to call in, the phone number is 347-945-5924. We also can be reached 704-333-2446 and 336-675-0075. And if you desire to email us any questions, the email address is melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. That is all of our contact information. Our website is Trinity Counseling Service, Trinity Counseling Charlotte. com. That is all of our contact information. It is necessary to give individuals that information in case they want to find us. You're able to call in. We've been talking about stress and stressors, and the month of March, to my understanding, is Mental Health Month, and it's also Women's History Month, and I've learned that it's also National Gambling Month. If you Google and look up any of the months, you can see where the most of the months are dedicated to different causes. Next month is going to be dedicated to Alcohol Awareness Month. And being a counselor, a mental health counselor, and a licensed clinical addiction specialist, we're going for the Thursdays that we are on the air from 8 to 8:30. We're offering the opportunity for any organization, any agency, any group that would like to call in and share about any of the events that they are going to be hosting, please do so that people can be aware of what you are offering. A lot of times when you're in business or you have different organizations, you rely upon the media to take care of some of those things for you and to notify people that you have these events. And But they come at a cost. Sometimes the media may or may not consider it to be valid or interesting enough, or may not be sensational enough for individuals, to be sharing all the events. People make effort in trying to organize the events on different websites. You can do it on the national level. You can do it on the state level. And then sometimes you rely on your own website or Facebook or Twitter or any of the other social media sites to help to promote and market the events that you're holding. But however, whenever people are Googling these things, if it doesn't have what it needs to have in order to pop up, the headings or the search engine, optimization and all those other fancy words, it basically means the computer does what you tell it to do. And if you don't enter in the proper information or you don't seek it out, it's not just going to appear. If you're not on certain individuals' Facebook lines, or if you're only limited to, say, professional, and these individuals may or may not be aware of those things. So if you call in, at least you can maybe direct the people that, are interested in your services to, that I'm going to be on the air. And maybe send it that way. It's offering an opportunity for other organizations and agencies, being one that relies heavily on self-promotion and marketing in order to do business. I'm offering a free free site, free opportunity. Not for nothing. But back to our lesson about we defined what stress was and where it comes from. And again, I'm not a doctor, but being in the field of alcohol and alcoholism and addiction or substance use disorders, mental health disorders, for as long as I've been, I see the effects of stress on a day-to-day basis, both personally and professionally, both with individuals, both with myself, with my kids, with my family members, also professionally with my colleagues, with other individuals in business, and with my clients. I see the effects of stress on a day-to-day basis. Foundationally, stress is something that it causes almost like an irritant, and the body responds to stress different ways. I was talking to a friend of mine who she's diagnosed with diabetes, and just 1 second for a pause for Fife Dawg, 45 years old. Fife Dawg was a rapper with Tribe Called Quest. If you're from the 90s, if you're a child of the 90s, like or a teenager in the 90s, you know Tribe Called Quest. If you listen to any kind of hip-hop. But he was 45 years old, and it was complications with diabetes. And back to my friend, I was talking to her, and she said that when she gets sick, and I never thought about this, but when she gets sick and her immune system goes down, fighting off, say, the flu or fighting off bronchitis or fighting off any kind of health, her blood sugar is affected. I thought about that. I was like, okay. And so she said stress can even cause her blood sugar to be affected. And so back to stress, just thinking about Fife Dawg being 45 years old, you know, no longer really in the business, not really sure where older hip-hop artists go when they get into their 30s, late 30s and 40s, if they're not still performing or, you know, not having transitioned into reality TV like Flavor Flav or something like that, or LL Cool J that you know, saw the end and so took his end game and did something different. And now you see him on Lip Sync Battle and NCIS and, you know, being able to keep working. I'm not really sure. And so I can imagine that that's stressful in itself. And so I posed the question to another friend of mine that I wonder, did they drink? Because alcohol can cause adult onset of diabetes. I don't have to look that research up. And because I went back and forth with my girlfriend, she's like, nope, you know, your diabetes is when your body, the sugar does not go into the system to provide energy, the pancreas. And she went on, you know, she's in nursing school, so she's learning. Yeah, that's what that demonstrated. But and just for the individuals that I've known to be older and to have been former drinkers and to have health problems, and diabetes becomes one of them. And then when you couple that with stress and it affecting the adrenal glands and it affecting metabolism and it affecting all of those things, then why not? If that's already, if the pancreas, which I forget which system that's a part of, but if that's already at a limit as a result of, say, maybe early drinking or early alcohol abuse or you know, just drinking too much younger, if it's already at a limitation, then the stress of life, you know, may not help that, and then it may accelerate it and to the point of death, because you got the complications, you're on dialysis, you need a transplant, so your organs is completely shut down. And so for our final week of, you know, stress and mental health month and dealing with stressors, I'm guessing that's where we are today. We are talking about ways that you can cope with stress that is better. And it always circles back around to what I've presented time and time again as individuals that are considering their lives and making changes in their lives and doing stress management and things like that. Well, first of all, you got your knowledge, okay? So wisdom, knowledge, and instruction. You know, you've gained wisdom maybe by listening to this program or just by life on life's terms and experiences that you have had. And the knowledge is knowing what you've done that may have affected you, that in far as your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, and just looking at that with honest eyes, you know, an honest desire for help. And that honest desire for help comes from making a real acknowledgement of the effect that your behavior has had over your life. And if you need to go back historically, you can go back to your own history. That's the documentation of your own personal history from your youth. You can go back a step further and do some of the other evaluations. You know, well, how did your parents deal with stress? How did your family members deal with stress? What was some of, you know, and did anybody pass on as a result of this stress? And that will give you a clear indication of maybe the route, the direction or the route that you may be taking for yourself. And so you have to kind of look at that. They call it a genealogy, or I call it a timeline. And this timeline is one where you can say, okay, you know, this is what happens. This is what causes me the most stress. This is where it comes from. This, you know, feeling mistreated when I'm young. So every time that you are affected or feeling mistreated, then you're going to respond in a certain way. Feeling frustrated, you're going to respond in a certain way. And then when you remove the use of alcohol and drugs, now what do you do in order to be able to deal with stress? And if you look at Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/TrinityMe, that's actually where you can, if you're already listening, that's where you can listen from. But you can listen to that, and you can see the outline for today. And it says that if you have been dealing with stress or stressful situations, it can go into greater issues, post-traumatic stress disorder. It can go to anxiety. It can go to depression. And there's diagnoses for that. And the diagnoses, most of them say that if you have been experiencing certain signs and symptoms over a period of 6 months, then you may need some help with a professional who will help you to examine and to evaluate the effects that it's had. You may need doctor care. You may need a physician, a psychiatrist, or someone who is able to prescribe some medicine for the short term, and then you may need to seek counseling for someone that can help for the long term, because the manner in which you are dealing with stress is now creating a detriment, say, in your mental health. So in your physical health, the stress, you know, may be causing physical symptoms earlier in the month. I posted the list of things that you can look at. Do you bite your nails? Are you having headaches? Are you not sleeping? Are you not eating well? Are you agitated, easily irritated? Any of those things that, you know, sweat. If you consider this all of the system, this is where I would need someone to call in who has a nurse background or physical medical background, and they can say, okay, Melissa, you know, when you have skin issues, you know, blemishes, what else? Blemishes, blackheads, pimples. Okay, so there's a buildup that is happening, and it only happens, or hives, breaking down in hives, or rashes. It only happens when there's a stressful situation, or, you know, your breath quickens, or out of breath. So that's your respiratory or your circulatory system. You know, you're not your blood's not clotting, or you're feeling sluggish, or you're sleeping a lot. Muscles, you know, you're having muscle spasms, or You may be having skeletal, so your bones just ache. You don't know why they're aching, or the digestive system is screwed up. You're not able to eat, constipation, diarrhea. You are getting sick a lot. Your immune system is messed up. Your metabolism is off. And then if you start to treat these stressful signs and symptoms with alcohol or drugs or marijuana or things like that, and yes, it may be alleviating the symptoms, but is it really helping? Is it helping to get rid of the causes, or is it simply just alleviating? Now, I was reading an article about some veterans are now smoking marijuana, even though it's illegal, and saying that it's alleviating the symptoms of the post-traumatic stress disorder that was gained or gotten from their time while overseas or in combat or things like that. And then they have the counter of that where an individual was not able to stop smoking and ultimately killed himself, which he may have had other issues that, you know, kind of caused that. But one of the criteria for the substance use disorder is it exacerbated or worsened the physical and psychological problem. And so here you are treating part of the disorder with say marijuana or even cocaine or something like that, and then basically creating a second disorder. So you already have the first one, which is the post-traumatic stress disorder. Now you have substance use disorder, marijuana, and it's either mild, moderate, or severe. And it becomes severe because your tolerance, so if you're smoking more and it's illegal, so you may get into trouble, which it causes detriment to your home, or you can't cut down, or, you know, it just can't be treated, and you have the cravings and the triggers, which come from when you're dealing with the stress, because the disorder of the post-traumatic stress disorder, even anxiety and even depression, is feeding and saying, here, take this, because that's alleviating it, but then it's not helping. So then you're in a cycle of addiction, and you're also in a cycle of not getting better from your mental health disorder. And basically what you've done is you've alleviated it for a period of time, but you've actually made it worse at the exact same time, which is kind of what they're seeing now with, say, pain medications. You have the pain, true enough, and rather than teaching to live with the pain, you're offering oxycodone, oxycontin, and some of the other opiates. And then people are getting hooked on the opiates, and then they don't have a way to get off of them, because when they try to get off of them, they hurt just as bad or worse than individuals, say, that may be dealing with heroin or even trying to get off of methadone. So that's, you know, it's just in a cycle of addiction at that point, and it all originates in the manner in which you deal with stress. And as a counselor, as a specialist, a licensed clinical addiction specialist, I'm going to wrap my head around that as a title. I specialize in working with individuals who have these substance use disorders, who are suffering from what technically is co-occurring disorders in every aspect of the word. I deal with individuals who have criminal are involved in the legal system by way of either driving while impaired, possession with a tip to sell and deliver. I've worked with individuals who domestic and things like that. And so in my working with them, what I am discovering and what I'm sharing with them is you have the diagnosis that formed so many years ago. You coupled it with the use of substances, and now you basically technically have co-occurring disorders, and you have at least three that I can count or more clear diagnoses for individuals, say, with driving while impaired, not following rules, not caring about anybody else and the effect of it. And I'm saying that to say, if you get in the behind the wheel of a vehicle and you know that there's a potential of you not being able to focus, you don't care about the rest of the people that's on the highway, that if you make the slightest mistake, it'll wipe them out. Go back to through Alamance County, there were 120 cars involved in some wrecks on a Sunday. It started on one side of the road, and for maybe because of being people being distracted, says me as I'm riding and doing this this talk. But and I was telling a friend of mine that, and I just take a pause, and he was like, "Melissa, how many times have you got caught speeding, or how many times do you speed?" As I was speeding, I was talking to him, and he was saying that to me, and I was like, "Okay, you know," and I had no excuse. I was like, "You're right," but you know, distracted driving and not being focused on the wheel in hand and being on the phone, and so here you have these wrecks on one side wiping out a bunch of cars. Then you had the wrecks on the other side. For looking at the wrecks on the other side, now you have 120 cars, and people got hurt. And there's really no closure to that, because everyone then has to take care of themselves, because there's really no, you can't really pinpoint who was at fault. And that can be stressful, because what if you didn't have enough money to pay for the insurance? And sometimes I'm in class and I'm listening to persons who have the DWIs, and I say, well, you know, here goes a card for an individual that can quote the insurance for your vehicle. And they'll say, well, that's all right, you know, I can use my grandmother, you know, they have A1 credit, you know, A1 insurance. And then I'm like, okay, so if you get into an accident, though, how's that going to work out? That's going to affect them. And they look at me with the look like, okay, and what are you saying? Like, that's never going to happen. But then when it happens, then that creates more stress. So, you know, stress can come from a lot of places, a lot of different areas, and it can just affect everybody in different ways. And the whole purpose of Talk with Trinity, which is a show that is dedicated to education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people, I always want people to kind of know their options, know, you know, kind of see things in a different way, have a different insight than, and I gain knowledge every single day. And just to know that there is a value to this knowledge is helpful, and that at some point, as we're working throughout the year, the Alcohol Awareness Month, National Recovery Month in September, at least those months, their themes are talking and sharing with the family about the issues with alcohol and drugs. And so just individuals having an opportunity to tell their story can alleviate stress on a lot of levels, because then at that point you hear that you are not the only one that is affected by whatever the issue is. You're not afraid anymore. You're not, you know, the stress, it no longer has any kind of power and control over your life, because you are now informed. You know that there are resources available in the community where you can go and you can talk. There's nothing that is too difficult for a professional, regardless of what level that they're on. They only ask to come in and be honest and trust and be open-minded and willing to take those suggestions. And you don't want to do anything, you don't want to be overwhelmed, but you don't want to do anything, you don't want to act in haste. You want to act informed. And, you know, I know that on jobs, there's a lot of stress. I can say once upon a time, not too terribly long ago, I had two miscarriages, and I feel that those originated from, at that time of my life, I carried the weight of a lot of other people other than just myself. I carried it in my gut. And so my rationalization was, you can't grow a living thing in trash. And so I began to do things like work on yoga, exercise, began to walk, lost weight, ate better, felt better, slept better, and got those things aligned. And thank God, I have two daughters now, and I'm always talking about them. But those are miracle children, because someone that has miscarriages, even though people may say, well, that's not a valid human, that's not the truth. I felt both of them. And a mother, my kids now can kind of sense where I am, and I can sense where they are. And that sense, and when you have that type of a connection, if it's broken, that creates some type of grief and loss, and you are affected by that. So, but if you have a miscarriage, you have to kind of look at all the way around what are some physical causes of it, what are some mental causes of it, emotional causes of it, spiritual causes of it, and then at some point you kind of got to own and accept that you may not be a vessel in which you may deliver children. So then your options are, do you adopt or just kind of realize as it is? And that's hard to swallow, and it creates a lot of stress for a lot of women, because you feel that you were created to be put on this earth to procreate, and then when you're unable to do so, you feel kind of lost, and it's hard to own, and that causes stress. So back to, you know, there, distress can come from all different ways, all different forms, and it is important that as individuals and as humans that, you know, we develop better coping and better recognition of the signs and symptoms. And some of the things we can shoot by, you know, our family members, but we may need professional intervention to help us to sort through it all in order to know the right things to do. And so I got to do a better job with the end. So I was talking, this is random, but I was talking to a young man, and he said that he's from another place, and he says when he goes over there, he has to change his whole speak. Because we in America use a lot of fillers in when we talk, and you have to make a conscious effort about that. And if you use those fillers, then individuals will pick up on it, and they will know you are not who you are. You're not who you say you are. So you have to really work and concentrate on that. And I think about individuals that act or perform, how they have to monitor their breath, add those fillers. So those fillers actually saving. You want the mind and the body actually needs to have something to fill space. Individuals that practice meditation says that you rule over that, and there's a time when there should be silence. Think about this Easter weekend that is coming up, and said Christ took the three friends to the garden to pray, and he left, and they fell asleep. And he said, you couldn't even stay awake long enough to pray. And they were like, sorry, but we had just eaten, you know, so they may have eaten too much. He was like, here it is. This is what is we're about to do, and we need prayer. And so we got to make a conscious effort about that, and being able to deal with stress and be able to deal with those things. And we only have about a minute left. Just wanted to say that March is the month that we've celebrated. We want to help women to develop more healthy, productive lifestyle through focusing on health. We wanted to make sure that we develop ways to understand the effects that stress has on the physical, mental, and emotional health. Again, stressors or anything, anyone, or any situation about which you experience pressure and tension. And right now, we just want to go to God and say, God, please remove all stress from our lives, from the lives of the individuals that we love and care about. Please allow us to know and put everything in your hands. Please give us the wisdom to know what it is that we can and cannot control. Please give us the knowledge in order to be able to apply the information, that, and please instruct us on what to do. And God, as we go forth today, Just continue to touch our family members, help them to deal with stress in better ways than to drinking and to using it. And God, just do all of those things right now. I pray in Jesus' name. And I hope everyone has a blessed week. We'll see you next week. We will hear from Justin Sharp from Anuvia about some events that are going to be held for Alcohol Awareness Month. Be blessed.